Hey, y'all. Welcome to Wednesday Night. You are live in the Corner Store, which is a podcast we do here at WGN Radio. Every now and again, we do a live version, and we like to call the live version the Mini Mart. The Mini Mart is shorter, quicker, sweeter. Tonight, we're here for a long time, but we're here to 10, from 10 to 1. And I'm your host, Kevin Koval. You can follow us at Corner Store_pod on all social media platforms. You could holler at me on the internets as well. It's at Kevin Koval. My name is Koval. And tonight we have, man, we have an incredible crew, and it doesn't really stop. We put out our podcast every Tuesday morning, and we record on Wednesdays. And so we're here a little late in the WGN studio doing this live version. Glad to be here. And tonight we have, in the Corner Store, in the Mini Mart, we have a really great designer, Ellen Ma, from a crew called Leaders. We have a visual artist named Shala. We have a multimedia artist and multi-genre artist named Lou Mermaid, a really brilliant producer from the Closed Sessions Massive. His name is Boathouse. We have Myquel and Musa Reams, who are two rappers that I really, really love in Chicago. And we'll end, as we do most Mini Marts, with a cypher. And, you know, to me, the cypher is the democratic creative space that hip-hop has birthed and given to the world, that is representative of the kind of democratic space I think we need to be living in. In the cypher, everyone gets their chance to spit, to speak, but then you are also in community and in choir and a chorus with other people. So we'll end on the cypher tonight. But you know, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're listening, you know, please feel free to hit us up on social media. As I said, you know, this is a platform and a creative space for artists from all genres, both in the city of Chicago and beyond. We just spent a week or so in New York when I was on book tour, and Max the Snack Tour, who's he and I worked together, we were out in New York, and we did a bunch of live interviews with incredible New York artists, from you know, legends in the game to folks on the come up. And this is a space for, you know, artists from all over to express themselves, to dig into their lives and their creative practice, and share that with you all. And for me, I know that when I was a young person coming up, it was very important for me to hear other artists talk about their creative process, because I didn't really have a pathway. I didn't have a roadmap to art. I grew up around working people, and they were working at their jobs, and they weren't necessarily living out a dream of being an artist. And so I had to seek that inspiration elsewhere. I think the thing that I have been realizing over this, I don't know, last bunch of years, is that in Chicago, you know, we're very indebted to this working class ethos, even as artists, all of us working artists in the city, but we're indebted to that working ethos. And seeing folks get up every day and go to work, I think, inspires the creative community here too, because our parents did that, or our moms did that, and it was an opportunity to see someone be disciplined enough to put themselves in a position to hopefully put food on the table, keep the lights on if they could, although, you know, that can be a struggle itself. But to see someone go through that process and that discipline of getting up and going to a gig is part of what makes this city such a powerful town. And the thing that I worry about increasingly is our ability to preserve and keep it a city, a burg for working people. You know, the rents and the rates in which we are losing a working middle class populace in the city is grotesque. There was a poll recently just talking about the amount of middle class black folks who are fleeing the city because of the lack of systemic support and infrastructure in not only black neighborhoods, but in the schools and in communities around the city. And it makes me, you know, ask the question about, well, what kind of city do we want to live in? And I think when I was coming up in the city and seeing my folks and seeing then a suburban diaspora that I moved in and around the Chicagoland area, and the thing that I valued always about coming back and riding the train is that I was always impressed by people, the everyday person's ability to get up and do it again, you know, despite liking the gig or not. And that, to me, is what makes the city great, are the people who continue to give it their all in order to make their spot, their house, their bungalow, their community a better and more beautiful space. And I just wonder what kind of city we'll be living in if we erase, push out, push away all the working folks. And so, you know, many of you know, hopefully, that I have a new book out in the world called Everything Must Go, The Life and Death of an American Neighborhood, which is available now. It's out in the world. I'm on book tour. I'm running around the city and running around the country. Next week, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin for the book festival in Madison. I love Madison, Wisconsin. I love all great Midwest cities. Madison is beautiful, right on the lake there, and I've been to that book festival before. And then I go to Providence, Rhode Island for a reading, a small independent bookstore there, and then I do the Boston Book Festival. So if you know folks in the area, please, please put them on. But this book is really about the nature of the city changing, and the thing, one of the things I try to do in the book is to put on for the worker, to lament and memorialize and also big up the people in Wicker Park in the 90s and people even now that I see grinding so hard. And so I want to read a poem, as I've been doing at the top of the mini marts. I want to read a poem that is about a hero of the night, but someone who I imagine and have seen just work tirelessly and almost a magician. I feel like if you see this person, or now these persons, in your eve in any dive bar across the city, that's a good sign. You know that you are in the right place if you see these folks. So I'm going to read this poem out of my new collection of work called Everything Must Go, The Life and Death of an American Neighborhood, which is available at any online bookstore and also at your local independent bookstores. Please, please support independent bookstores. This is called The Tamale Guy. The tamale guy got hundreds in an igloo cooler, hot and dense, stuffed with queso and peppers, pork and corn, delicious and delivered to dingy bars littered across Chicago's last late night. The tamale guy is a hero of sorts, unknown to the masses, unmasked and cloaked in dimly lit dives, weaving through packed houses and some sad scatterings of last calls and flak jacket flannel, dodging flailing elbows and mixed drink condensation. The tamale guy appears from thin air, the dust and bustle of Western Ave. The tamale guy feeds the multitude, hipsters and punks, artists and waitresses, after midnight Denzians who need a break and stiff drink or something to soak it all up. The tamale guy must have a family, some army who helps him wake and resuscitate for this second hustle. The tamale guy might carry mail by day, or punch buttons and a clock in a factory, might live in Pilsen and wander the south branch of the river near Ashland on the weekend and watch fishermen lure smelt. The tamale guy lures the hungry, feeds the drunk for a couple of bucks, the poor, after all the pores, he's there in the lonely of night, the tamale guy is there. I appreciate y'all. That's from Everything Must Go, The Life and Death of an American Neighborhood, which really is me just trying to honor so many of the great working and hardworking folks and artists and laborers that I knew in the 90s in this great and brutal and horrible city. But please check out the book. And also, we put out a t-shirt with the homies Juggernaut. We put out a limited edition t-shirt featuring the illustration of Langston Alston on the front of that t-shirt. So check out Juggernaut, always Juggernaut Chicago, the homies. Yes, yes, we are back in the Corner Store live. Our live edition is called the Mini Mart. My name is Kevin Cole. I'm your host. Hit us up on socials at cornerstore_pod, or holler at me personally at Kevin Koval, KevinCoval. That's Oval with a C for those playing at home. We have in the building, in the Mini Mart tonight, you know, there's a platform for creatives from all over the city. We have an incredible artist who I'm a big fan of, someone who is multidisciplinary, but I know her work because she is the lead creative designer for the Homies Leaders, which is a Chicago streetwear institution, really the first to put so many people on game and make it viable for Chicago area designers to have their own stuff in this very city. Ellen Ma is in the corner store. Welcome.
Wow, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you. And before we go any further, you know, we acquire, and by we, I mean Max's Snack Tour acquires various beverages and snacks out the corner store for our guests. And so we are also sponsored, by the way, by Stolen Spirits. Shout out to the Homies and our spirit sponsor. And I don't know if you got a beverage before coming in, but hope you did. If not, we also have Max's acquired for you a Arizona iced tea with raspberry flavor. So
Whoa, yeah, please feel free
to enjoy that. In addition, Max has also gotten you some Goodfields dried fruit banana chips, a whole big tub of them.
Fantastic.
It looks like, yeah, so please feel to enjoy those as you wish. But Ellen, I mean, yeah, you were telling me when you were coming in, born and raised south side of Chicago.
Yes, I was born and raised in Hyde Park. I feel like I'm like a total Hyde Park girl. I went to Ray school, I went to the lab, and I still live there right now. It's home. And yeah,
so your parents had you there.
Yes. Okay. So my parents are Chinese immigrants. So
your first generation?
Yes.
Okay.
So my dad first came here, came to Chicago first, and without knowing English or anything, he got a job at the University of Chicago.
Wow.
Yes.
How did that happen? That seems like a big... What did he do?
So he is a microbiologist.
Okay. He's not playing games.
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what that means, but I feel like he studies very small things.
Yeah. So he's a researcher. Exactly. And he was able to get a job at University of Chicago. And then after working here for a year, he was able to bring my mom, my sister. And then I was born here.
Wow. Okay. So how much do you know about their story, about that process for them?
I feel like their story is very essential to my story. The whole idea of the immigrant story, working really, really hard to achieve something, the American dream, it's very close to me. So I know all about their story and like their struggle. You know, coming here to the United States, not knowing the language, not knowing anything, basically leaving everything behind for basically to provide for your children.
That's, yeah, which is the American story, which is the Chicago story.
Exactly.
So, through your particular experience and lens, I mean, being Chinese American in the city then, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood too, what did that mean coming up? I mean, I don't necessarily know Hyde Park per se to have a giant Chinese American population. I might be wrong.
Well, first, it is very diverse. It's a great neighborhood to grow up in. You know, it's home. So to be honest, I want to say I'm in every situation, I'm either the only Asian person or the only female or the youngest person. So because I have all these things going against me, I use it to my advantage. It became more of a superpower for me to be different.
Mm. Yeah, well, you are definitely different. You've done a lot in a short period of time. How did you get started in making art?
Oh, it's my whole life. I started drawing when I was super little, and then that transferred into painting. And then in high school, I picked up graphic design because I was so into culture. I was so into skateboard culture and the idea of skateboard decks and the design of that. And so that's how I really got into design. And then later I went to SIC, Art Institute, for painting and graphic design.
Right, and you studied there. You did your what, BFA there?
Yes.
Okay, in painting and design.
Exactly.
What kind of stuff were you learning there? It's great. I was there today, by the way. I was in the homie Krista Franklin's class, spending some time in her, I think it's like a writing seminar that she teaches. And I used to teach at SAIC as well.
So cool.
But yeah, what did you get out of being there?
To be honest, I learned everything I needed to know. I feel like everything I needed to know about graphic design and the ability to change it up and make it my own style. And then in terms of art and everything else, I was really able to explore. The good thing about SIC is that it does help you explore different, I guess, different art, you know? Like, I was able to do sculpture or fashion design and everything else. So I was able to just have a wide range of curriculum.
Right. And of course, especially as a young maker, to experiment within so many different realms.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's important. And also to be given the space and the freedom to do that. When I think of the student population at SAIC, I don't necessarily think of a lot of Chicago kids. I don't see a lot. So you were also a kind of an anomaly there, too.
Exactly, yeah. So I do want to tell a story. I know Nico Washington was on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nico's terrific.
We were actually in the same class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the only thing we knew about each other is that we're both from Chicago, and we just really vibe with each other. But it wasn't until, like, a year after, we're like, wait a second, you're from Save Money? And then he's like, wait a second, you design for leaders? The cool thing about Chicago is that it's a big city, but it's also really, really small. Like, once you start knowing people, you start to know everyone.
Yeah, and the creative scene, especially, you all are around the very same age. So
right.
It's like, yeah, once you kind of begin to, you know, do that kind of geographic work, be like, oh, do you know?
Exactly.
You're like, oh, yeah. No, I like that about here. All right, so you mentioned Leaders. Mm-hmm. First, tell us what Leaders is.
Leaders is a Chicago streetwear brand. It's one of the most notable streetwear brands in Chicago, and it also really jump-started a lot of people's careers.
Not only in fashion. But also put on for so many musicians.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Chance the Rapper, for example.
Yeah. Because Leaders, I mean, the thing that I have always loved about Leaders, mm-hmm. is that it was one of the first spaces that was a gear shop that mm-hmm. operated like a community center.
Oh, definitely. That's why I was such a fan of Leaders in high school.
So you knew it in high school because it was based. Yes. It started in Hyde Park.
Yes, it did.
All right. So give us a sense because that shop is closed.
Yes.
Right. So give us a sense of Leaders in the day. Like what drew you to it, and what was it like to be in the store at that time?
Oh yeah, definitely. So I started out designing because of skateboard culture, and so Leaders Skate was in Hyde Park. And
do you skate, by the way?
I used to.
I used to. Okay. All right.
That's another thing about me. Growing up, I've always been very into, I guess, more stereotypically boyish hobbies, like skateboarding, breakdancing, graffiti. I love rap music. So everything hip-hop, I love. So, of course...
Were you a Lupe Fiasco kid?
Kanye kid.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I respect Lupe.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just wondered because the skateboard and the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Bet. Yeah, so someone took me to Leader Skate, and I'm like, wow, this is everything I love. It has, you know, skate decks, all these amazing designs, and just a great community place to go to. Like, anyone can just hang out there, and you didn't have to buy anything. You know, you could just have a great conversation or ask either the founder, Corey Gilkey.
Shout out Corey Gilkey
or Diego Ross.
Shout out Diego, yeah, man.
For advice. And so it was such a great place to meet people and just hang out.
It's a dream for a high schooler, right? To have a cool place,
exactly.
Where there's cool stuff,
yeah.
And you can just be there. And
yes.
You don't have to do anything other than just hang out.
Yes.
And it's not the school. It's not your parents' crib. You know, but they continue to, because now you guys, maybe, you know, as we're talking, maybe if you can give out your social media.
Oh, yeah.
And also Leaders, too.
Of course.
Yeah. What is it, please?
Oh, so you can find me at the LMA at Instagram, TheElenma, and you can just find Leaders at Leaders1354.
And now you guys have a, I mean, I think of it as the new store, but it's not new at this point. I mean, on Madison, what's the address?
It's 1152 West Madison.
Right.
It's been around for 3 years.
Yeah.
About, yeah.
And still has, I mean, every time I go in there, it's, you know, if I feel so warm walking in.
Oh, yeah.
And people are just like, yo, you know, and it's just, you always see other people that I know when I go in.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great. So
yeah,
it still feels.
Family.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. You remembered in high school. When we come back from break, I want to talk about how you transitioned from, going into the store as a kid,
exactly,
to then being a lead creative in the space. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to come back in just a few moments with Ellen Ma from Leaders. Welcome back to the Corner Store Podcast, live in the Mini Mart. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. Y'all holler at us, please, on socials at cornerstore_pod, or hit me up directly via Twitter or IG at Kevin Koval, my name. That is wild that we are going to be in the 30s this weekend. That's Chicago. That's Chicago,
oh,
stuff.
Yeah,
that's just the nature of the beast. And I welcome fall with open arms, because hoodie season is the best season.
Yes, it is.
So, We are talking with Ellen Ma, who is the creative director at Leaders. You do a lot of other things. You're an art director for Clear Channel Outdoor. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what that is. You also have made my niece and my nephew so happy, because I was able to get some plush hip hop animals.
Oh my God,
that you made
so
for them. Tell us what those are. They're beautiful and cute, hip hop inspired, or like a mashup of, like, you know, it's like Rick Ross is a walrus. It's not that, but it's like it's kind of like a mashup of,
yes,
of these. Yeah. What all, and where can people still find those?
Yes.
Okay.
So I created this designer plush toy brand called Hip Hop Happy Creatures, and basically what it is each plush toy that I design is inspired by someone hip hop. And so there is Dr. Dre as a dinosaur.
is that a disc?
No, it's
his career. No, all right.
There's Biggie and there's Kanye.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Kanye is what? He's
like a blue dinosaur with the glasses.
Yeah. And then who's the purple joint?
That's Biggie.
That's Biggie
with the crown.
Yeah. So yes. I got the Biggie and the Kanye one for my niece and my nephew.
That's amazing.
And they love them. I mean, they still rock them. They're 11 and 7.
That's amazing.
And they're really cute. And so thank you for that. So
yeah.
So people could find those, the hip hop.
Yes. It's hiphophappycreatures.com. You can buy it. It's for $40. So the reason why I made it is because my love of hip hop, I wanted to combine everything I'm all about into this brand, basically. So, the whole idea of culture, linked with my Asian American roots, like with the style of everything, and also wanted to make something that, was accessible to people, make hip hop, I guess, accessible to everyone.
Yeah. I mean, to younger people. Although I debated whether or not I was going to give it to them, because they're also so well made and cool and cute, really.
Yeah, I really want to get the best materials. I designed each one, so yeah.
Yeah, no, they're fire.
Thank you. So
you also do, of course, you are one of the lead designers for Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Now. How did you transition and go from being a kid in high school,
right,
interested in skating, hanging out, to then working for them and leading the aesthetic future of that brand?
Wow. I feel like you're going to love this origin story. So, yes, I was a huge fan back in the day in high school, and I just really wanted to get in that scene. Like, nobody really told me, you know, my parents are researchers and scientists, so no one really told me how to be an artist in Chicago. So I had to do a lot of trial and error, you know, figure out what I wanted to do and also how to get a job. But when Chance the Rapper released his coloring book album, I decided to do an independent project and create a physical coloring book dedicated to the album. So each page that I designed was based off of each song in the album. And I was also a huge fan of Chance. And I knew Leaders in Chance had some affiliation. So I was able to get these books printed out, and I took the book, and I went to the store. And that's when I met Corey for the first time. So I knew Diego, but I didn't know Corey. And that's when I met him. And I walked in the store, was like, hey, my name is Ellen. I'm a graphic designer, and I made these coloring books. I don't know if we could do something with it or something, but I just want to show you, and maybe something will come out of it. So he looked through the book, and he saw who I am, and was like, wow, you made this? Yeah, I designed everything, you know, designed every page, front, back, everything. He was like, okay, well, first off, we can't really sell this here because of legal issues, but do you want to work here instead? This is really cool. And I'm like, you're joking. I've been wanting to work here since high school. And he was like, yeah, this is amazing. Here, let me show you some of our designs, and I'm going to give you a test to see what you're capable of. I'm like, all right, cool, I got this. So he sent me an email with all the Leaders logos, and he basically said, yeah, just come back whenever you can and mock up some shirts for me. So I went straight home, and I designed 5 different looks with, I guess, like 3 different colorways for each one. And I came back the next day.
Wow.
And I gave it to Corey, just printed out and everything, and was like, here you go, I did this for you. And he was like, whoa, that was really fast. You did that in like 24 hours? All right, yeah, we can do something here. And that was the start of how I was able to work at Leaders.
I love the entrepreneurial hip-hop hustle.
Yes.
Yeah, it's you were down, you know, and down to do the work, I think, which is so important. So all right, so you got the gig. How long ago was this?
This was 3 years ago.
Okay.
And then after that, Corey took this book that I made, and he actually gave it to Chance a month later. And Chance saw it and was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, I need to commission her to do something. So that's how I was able to work with Chance on his coloring book.
Right. And so what was that like?
That was a dream come true.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, just meeting him and then actually working with him, it was basically a life changer. And then after that, like, snowball effect happened. You know, I was able to work with Hugo Brantley. And then with Leaders, we did huge collaborations. For example, with, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, Billionaire Boys Club, and then the Hundreds.
Right. Yeah. I was wearing the socks yesterday. That must be very exciting to not only work with artists that you admire, brands you admire, but then how do you go back and forth to temper but also express your own creative ideas with people that you also, you know, look up to in some instances? How have you been, you know, able to negotiate that tension?
I feel like no matter what, I trust myself when it comes to design, and I trust me understanding people. So I really, when I ever work with someone, I'm really trying to understand what they're about in their core. So it's really for them, but also I like to put my personal twist on it, you know, my style or something, or something that I love. So it's just a good combination of both putting in my soul into the work, but also what the other person really, really needs.
What are some of the things that are exciting you now or inspiring you now in terms of design, the things that you find, you know, kind of, I don't know if you make a mood board or if you have like a ongoing, you know, mood board in your head or something like that. But what are some of the things that you're like, yeah, I think this is, or maybe you can't even give those away, like the things that are.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
I'm always researching, so I'm always looking at everything. So when it comes to, like, I'm always checking out sneakers, and like Nike's doing really, really cool contemporary things. You know, always going to the museums. Just looking out for everything, seeing what other brands are doing. That's also really inspiring. But yeah, I just really, really look at everything. You know, like, I also really admire a lot of different artists like David Cho or Tekashi Murakami. So that's a huge inspiration for me. And also rappers. I'm just really deep in this hip hop scene. And so I love rappers and like what they have to say, the stories that they tell.
Who are some of the folks that you rock with right now?
Well, I'm always a Kanye kid. I feel like for our generation, he's our Jordan, you know? Mm. of course, Chance will always be there. Kendrick, Dumbfounded. You know,
I love him.
Oh yeah, awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Rich Brian.
Yeah. And what's the label that he's on? Because it's an Asian brand.
Yes, 88 Rising.
Right, yeah, which is very dope.
Yeah, so I try to support not only like Chicago people, but also Asian Americans. Because there's so few of us in this hip-hop scene, whether it's rapping or, you know, streetwear. I try to support as much as I can.
And what are some of the other brands that you look to that are you're motivated by, that you wear, that you like?
I look at every Chicago brand and see what they're doing. So Juggernaut for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at Fat Tiger.
Of course.
Yes.
And all these guys go back to Leaders too. I mean, they have a real history with Leaders too.
Yeah, and I know, you know, I know all of them. Like, we're really cool together. So yeah, they're just great people. I feel like in Chicago, the good thing about it is that everyone supports everyone, unlike other cities. You know, like, for example, New York or something, I feel like everything is so scattered. But in Chicago, everyone's connected with each other.
Yeah, I think there was a moment where that really began to turn. And I felt like Chicagoans and Chicago artists specifically really wanted to support the brands that were coming out of Chicago. And I think that made a difference, not only in terms of the brands, but in terms of the vibe of the city. Like, people were really putting on and putting each other on each other's back, literally.
Exactly.
And it's made a big, big difference for this community.
Oh, yeah. And ComplexCon was here. That was a huge statement. It really showed that Chicago is, I guess, like, the city for innovation.
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, so what are some of the things that you are working on right now that we could see coming up? And I want to get to talking about the Clear Channel Outdoor and want to know what that is. But what are some of the things that you know, some drops, some product? What's coming up for you at Leaders soon?
Well, we're doing a bunch of collaborations for All-Star Weekend in February.
Yeah.
So that is going to be huge.
It's going to be a wild time in Chicago.
Yeah, but like I was
NBA
saying,
NBA All-Star February 2020.
Everything is coming to Chicago.
That's right. So it should. Yeah, yeah. Facts.
So that's saying something, you know? We have a bunch of collaborations coming up. I can't really mention it right now, but it's going to be big, and then something big during the summer.
Great. Well, that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Real quick, because we're going to go to break in a bit. You're the art director for Clear Channel Outdoor. What is that?
So I design billboards as a day job. I am one of the art directors. So of the Midwest region. So we do billboards for Chicago, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis.
Nice. Good. And where can people find you and your artwork? On socials or wherever else? Where's a good place for that?
You can check out my website at artofema.com, artofema.com. And my Instagram, again, it's the Elema, TheElenma.
Awesome. And people, of course, can go to Leaders on a regular basis. Give out the address again.
Yes.
Store hours, website, handle, social, everything.
The address is 1152 West Madison. The website is ldrs1354.com, and then leaders1354 on Instagram.
Well, look, I'm so excited for all of what you have coming up. And
thank you.
You got a great story. You're a good storyteller too.
You know. Oh, yeah. I feel like that's what I'm about. I love telling stories. That's like experiences and all that stuff makes me who I am. It makes everyone who they are.
Facts. Do your folks tell stories?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, they tell stories about like growing up during the Cultural Revolution in China and the immigrating here and like what that's all about. So I really take in a lot of information.
Oh, that's really beautiful. Well, Ellen, thank you so much for being in the Corner Store.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to the Corner Store. I am your host, Kevin Koval, in the building till 1 a.m. tonight. and please holler at us. We are here. Get at us on socials. We're at cornerstore_pod, and also holler at me at Kevin Koval on IG and Twitter. And you know, engage in the conversation. We got a lot of great guests coming up. In the building now is a really interesting artist, Nigerian American. Shala has graced us with his presence.
Oh, gracing people with
presence. Yeah, man, I think so. I think that's what it is. And of course, plus you got a really beautiful blue. What do you, Scully? Beanie?
Yeah. What
do you
beanie. Call it? Beanie. What we call it? Beanie?
Beanie? Scully? Beanie. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
In the day, we call it. Beautiful head on top of a beautiful face.
Right.
Let them know.
And Google also, me. Like a really fly, is it mustard yellow crew neck?
I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah. Very dope.
Yes, sir.
Shout out. Yo, man,
I
welcome.
Feel welcome already.
Welcome to the corner. So, we also have some gifts for you just out the gate. You're enjoying, gifts? I hope. Our spirit sponsor, Stolen Spirits, salutes to the spirit sponsor. Yes. In addition, Max's Snack Door has secured for you a few things. One is a Vita Coco pineapple coconut water.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one, actually.
Practice,
you know, stay
right now.
Stay hydrated. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
This and activated charcoal in the morning.
That's right.
Or right before you go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, after you take the spirit sponsor, you feel me?
Yeah. Listen, yeah, you're putting people on game.
Already.
Also, some Barnum's animal crackers. Now,
anal crackers.
Animal crackers.
We can't say that, right?
You could say animal crackers.
Muscle.
Yeah, yeah. That's
crackers.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see what you did there. This is a good source of calcium. Enjoy.
You got that late night smooth voice. I never seen that before. The those canisters.
Oh, yeah.
With a nipple on top of it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's not nipples. What do you call those things? That's a nipple, right?
You know, yeah, I think that is what it's called. You know, my niece told me that the Hydro Flask is some sort of social currency in her middle school.
What?
She's 11 years old, and evidently, if you have a Hydro Flask, that signifies like you're like some sort of like baller-esque.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get a Hydro Flask?
She already had one.
Oh,
she put me
course.
On. She put me on.
Oh,
she noticed.
You got the one with the nipple, though.
This is now making me uncomfortable because we're talking about my niece. Of course not. But it was amazing. She's like, oh, Unc, you have a Hydro Flask. Me, you know, me and the homies, we have Hydro Flasks. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, your water bottle. I'm like, and it's just a water bottle, fam.
Wow.
But it means something else in her.
I gotta get a Hydro Flask.
Evidently.
Yes, sir.
But that's not why.
But it means you're already cool, so.
That's what she told me. That's what she told me. And in her eyes, if I'm cool in her eyes, I feel like I'm doing good.
Yes.
Now, Charlotte, you do a lot of things.
Wow.
But tell us a little about the art that you make.
I'm an artist.
Yeah.
It's all art to me, you know. But my main focus is I'm a social impact artist. So I make art that matters. Not that other people's art doesn't matter.
Shots at other people?
Yeah, I know, right? Get them guns
just out the gate.
Out the gate. Shots fired. I just want to make sure that the creativity I put out there makes a practical difference. My primary medium right now is solar art. So I make solar murals and sculptures that generate electricity.
Yo, break that down, because that sounds very highly technically involved. What does that mean?
I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a solar pyramid in Bronzeville, mm-hmm. on 47th and King Drive. It's skinned by solar panels. It has art on it. It generates electricity during the day, and it illuminates and it sends electricity to the neighboring gallery at night. So not only is it pretty, right, and inspiring and all that good things, but it's practical. It generates 3,000 watts of electricity about a day. And, you know, my goal is to put that in a lot of underprivileged neighborhoods. Essentially, we could become sovereign if we had art that generated electricity and, i.e., money. So not only is the neighborhood getting some sort of revenue source, but it's looking better and inspiring people. So that's the kind of art I like to do.
How did you come to work even in those materials?
A lot of research and just messing up and experimenting.
Right.
I'm always pushing the limits. I'm always bored. You know, we're artists. You're always looking like, what can you do next? You know, how can you really impact people? So I just got sick of what I was doing. I got sick of just making art for art's sake. And I needed something that was going to take the ego out of the art. Because a lot of times we live in our egos and insecurities. And I want to do something that would serve people. My life works when I serve people, you know? It doesn't work when I'm self-serving and just thinking about myself and how pretty my work is.
Well, that's powerful. And you make beautiful work, too.
You,
I mean, there is a high aesthetic component to what you
do. It's got to be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it was just practical, If it was, right.
Then I'd be an engineer or something.
Right.
Shout out to the engineers who helped me make this stuff happen. But I make it pretty. I think that that's why we're necessary as creatives, because we translate things, you know? There's a lot of amazing tools and technology right now that just has not been translated for normal people. And I think it's our duty as creatives to translate this stuff into stuff that people can use. That's all Steve Jobs did, right? All that stuff, all the stuff we know of as an iPhone existed before. It was just ugly and unusable. He made it usable. Mm. You know, he made it cool.
So as we're talking, where's a good place where people might be able to get the visual about some of the things that you're referencing?
Oh, buyshala.com. I'm Googleable now.
Hey.
You could Google Shala. You can Google artists, S-H-A-L-A, and a lot of cool things will pop up. I have a TED Talk. I did a Nissan commercial recently. I've done work with Michelob and Anheuser-Busch. I've done work with ComEd. So my website is buyshala.com, and obviously the gram, at followshala, and Twitter at followshala.
Nice. Okay. And you mentioned brands, I mean, which is an increasingly viable space for an artist to make a living in, working with brands. What is that experience like for you when brands approach you or you pitch an idea to a brand? How much do you have to compromise a vision? How much how much are you just, you know, like, this is what I see, trust me?
I pretty much work with the brands that will allow me to do what I see.
Right.
It limits the amount of brands I can work with, but there are plenty of brands out there. And I work with brands that get my vision. I mean, at the end of the day, my vision is to better humanity. If you don't get that, I don't need to be working with you anyway. I need to be trying to remove you, you know? So luckily, I've been able to work with people that get it. And a lot of brands get it, you know? It's in vogue to make things that work for people now. We'll see how long that lasts, but let's milk it while it does.
Absolutely.
While it's going.
You know? And we're in that evolutionary process and stage too. So it's going to be interesting. We're going to come back in just a few from break, and I want to talk about, you know, how you came to the work. Nigerian American.
Yep.
Born in Chicago.
Born in Chicago, North Side.
All right. Good.
Uptown.
Uptown.
I knew you. I see. I saw you. I knew.
Yeah. I just moved back to Uptown.
You moved back to Uptown?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it's different.
Oh my God. So I lived there in the late 90s.
Late 90s? Yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
so
it's different.
It's changed.
You gotta
a lot.
Tell me about it now. I just drive through now.
Hey y'all, we're hopping back into the Corner Store Live, aka the Mini Mart. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. Please holler at us on socials at Corner Store _ Pod or at Kevin Koval. We have right now in the Mini Mart, aka the Corner Store, we have a multi-talented artist, Shala, in the building, man. We were talking on break about being a world citizen because of where you grew up in Chicago. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah,
tell me what you mean.
About growing up in Uptown, Wilson and Broadway. I grew up going to 48 North Winthrop, and then Eastwood Building next to the Twin Towers where all the Africans be at, and South Asians. And so I saw everything from Latinos to Asians, white folks, of course, Africans, blacks, you know, African Americans rather, you know. And there's a big difference with who I am growing up in that environment and now being South and having my brethren who only grew up seeing my people, you know. There's something about it, man. So I'm really thankful that I grew up
Uptown.
Where I did, you know?
Uptown is such an anomaly in that regard.
Is or was? Because I heard it's all like white folks at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there are still pockets. I mean, and it is certainly not what it was.
Okay.
But you still, you know, there are still, it's still even because Chicago is so segregated.
So
that to even see, you know, folks of who are of multiple races getting off of the Argyle stop, getting off of the Wilson stop, is still significant because it's so bifurcated in the city.
Bifurcated?
Yeah, just like all of these divisions. Mm-hmm. And but in Uptown, you still get a little bit of that, although you absolutely sense that the whitewash is coming.
Yeah.
But to be protective of it, but coming up as a young person, to be then in that cultural stew.
Yeah, it did everything for me. And then coming up during hip-hop, when hip-hop was actually coming up, and it was actually a cult, it's still a culture, but it wasn't so pop. as it is now. So you could, it was different. You know, there was a vibe in the air. There was soul in it. And it still has the semblance of it, right? But nowhere near like when it was like underground, you know.
Because you came up rhyming. You were in a crew.
Yeah, I came up in Yoko Sort at the time. And then Quelo.
Right.
Came up out of that.
And you guys had a name. You guys were doing work.
Yeah, we were doing work.
Yeah.
You know, and we traveled a lot. And our music reflected how we grew up, because it's the three of us was from the west side and I was from the north side. So it was really interesting.
How did you all even meet?
We went at Lane Tech. We met in high school.
We went to Lane Tech.
Yeah. Lane Tech was that like that connection point where everybody from the west side and the north side kind of got together at a connection in on Addison. Western and Addison, I think it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Definitely.
Big school. It was like a college. It was a very interesting time. I'm really glad I grew up in the era I did, because it made me who I am. It made me a person who wants to actually do something that's going to change the world.
Well, and you are changing the world, which is incredible. And you do a lot of things. You're the founder of the movement Worldwide Inc.
Yeah,
a boutique that has a social consciousness to it.
Yeah, because I figured out that. I wasn't going to make any money, and I wasn't going to be successful if I kept being self-centered, if I kept trying to make it, you know. Like I said, I'm built to serve. I'm built to make creative things that actually make a difference. I think we all are, but I'm going to claim mine, and I've seen my life work since. So that's what my company is dedicated to, coming up with creative solutions that change the world, you know. Cool solutions, you know, and everything from music to animated shorts to solar art, you know, to pink houses that cure cancer. You know?
Wait, say more about that.
So there's this project called Charlotte's Pink House, charlottespinkhouse.com, and three important women in my life got cancer all around the same time. And before that, I was kind of ignorant to cancer. I thought it was something that was away from me. And so it really touched me at that point. And we did a fundraiser because I started to see how much money it takes to deal with cancer. And it's really expensive. So I came up with this concept of having a venue that's a rental venue, a rental space, but all the money is donated to alternative cancer treatments that are homeopathic.
Wow.
And not chemical or not chemo or radiation, you know? So it's sustainable because it's a business, but all the money is going to promoting alternative treatments to cancer that are not so expensive and actually cure the disease. Because it's curable, but people are making so much money on it that that's not necessarily public. So because I have a kind of a cool marketing background, I wanted to use a pink house to promote that there are alternative cures and have some place where people can rent and just spend their money in the right place.
You know? Is this still up and running?
No, we're still working on it. Okay. The goal is next year.
Uh-huh.
Keep your fingers crossed. I got a spot. Hope I close this deal. I've been working on it for 3 years.
Well, good luck. Yeah, no, that sounds like really important work. This notion of social engagement, not all artists have this notion when it comes to their practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, what, where did you gain this infusion of art, practice, and this social consciousness?
I invented it. I realized that in order to stand out, you got to do something different, right? So I just leaned into being me, and I confronted that. What am I really about? My parents raised me a particular way. I'm a rebel, but I do have social responsibility all in my DNA, you know? So I just embraced it, and I just started to look toward enlightenment, really. So I read the right books, Eckhart Tolle, Ryan Holiday, one of my favorites. I've studied Landmark Education, did that, and it showed me my purpose, you know? So I just seek your purpose, man. You seek your purpose, like, genuinely, and it'll find you, but you have to seek it, right? You got to give it a hug, and then it'll hug you right back. That's what I do. So that's what I did, man. I found my purpose, but I actively went looking for it. And I realized that I had insecurities that were keeping me away from my money, keeping me away from my purpose, and keeping me away from a happy life. It's just an insecurity that I didn't matter. So when I dropped all of that and focused on making sure other people matter, I got a chance to matter. And now I'm here talking to you, and you're making me feel like I super matter, right?
You do. You super matter, and you're having a big impact. What are you, you're first generation?
Yeah, Nigerian.
What do your folks think of the work that you do?
They're fascinated by it. At first, they didn't really understand it because I'm an artist. That's not, you know what I mean?
And certainly not why they moved to this country so you could be an artist.
That's not what they want. You know
What do they do?
My father is a retired doctor and my mother is a retired lab technician.
Okay.
So.
And when did they come?
Man, when, you mean, to, when they come and had me or when they, oh, you mean came like traveled.
Yeah. When did they come to Chicago?
Let me see. They came probably 73, 74.
Okay.
Yeah, been here a long time.
Right.
I'm planning to go back, but that ain't never, you know what
I
mean?
Of course.
Happened. Because Nigeria has its issues, you know what I'm saying?
As does everywhere, right?
But they started to understand me about 10 years ago.
What was the turn?
The record deal helped.
I'm sure.
The record deal helped.
Because money
when
helps.
They saw a check.
Yes.
They were like, oh, okay, it's real. Okay. The fact that I never moved back to their house. The fact that I paid off my house, you know, little things here and there have helped the narrative. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
And now they just respect it. Like, they can drive past a big pyramid that lights up at night and say their son did that.
Right.
Like, that's not anything they would ever imagine happened coming out of our lineage, you know?
And give us the location of that. Because that's, I want you to maybe name a few of the places we can go see some of the work that you do.
Oh, okay. So it's on 47th and King Drive. You can Google Shala Solar Pyramid and it'll pop up. Do your Googles. And the other work I do is mostly gallery work. There's a touring piece that I've done now that's a solar phone charger. It's not in the city. It was in the city for a little bit this summer. It's now traveling across the country. I also have a mural in Inglewood. I forget the school, though, but you may not want to go over there. That's where I started. You know what I mean? But I did a service that so that mural now lights up the area, so it's safer for kids to at least walk across the neighborhood. So,
right, and where again, if we want to be, as folks listening, folks want to be in tune with what you're doing, where are the best places for people to engage with you, see your work, but also maybe, you know, get you to come out to their community space and maybe, you know, look at
something. Shala at buyshala.com for sure. Again, Instagram, Twitter, at follow Shala. I communicate unless I'm in, like, in a lab and I'm working really hard, but you know, I have a team and I have people. So yeah, just hit me on online and let's get it going. I love talking to people. I love inspiring people and getting people out of their own way. Like somebody did me.
Anything coming up that we can see in the near future?
Ooh, can I speak on this? You'll know. I'm doing something with the Lincoln Yards Project, giving back. You know, sending the electricity back, so to speak, if you know what I mean. And if y'all know about the Lincoln Yards Project, I'm going to be sending some of that money home, you know?
Mm.
I have some projects in St. Louis, and I'm working on something right now in Malta, which is in Europe.
Man, that's very exciting. Thank you so much for being in the
Cornerstone, man. I appreciate
it. It's good to catch up.
Yes, sir.
Are you still rhyming?
Not so much.
Okay. What happened to the crew?
Everybody split, got grown, you know what I mean? But all of us still produce. So I think my next stint in music will be DJing and making music, beats.
That's what's up. Well, yo, appreciate you, man. It's good to see you. I'm excited to continue to see the impact you make in the city and beyond. Thanks for being in the Corner Store.
I appreciate you, man.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Corner Store, a.k.a. the Mini Mart. This is a live version of a podcast we do weekly on WGN. And you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts and always on WGN.com. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. And this is a platform for creatives who are emerging and been at it, OGs and everyone in between. It's already been a great first hour and change, and it does not stop. We have a big lineup for the next 2 hours, and in the Corner Store right now we have a young woman who I'm a fan of. She is she does a lot of things. I mean, it's amazing. So young and so talented, a rapper, a storyteller, working on a kid's book, a dancer, someone who I am inspired by. Lou Mermaid is in the Corner Store. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm honored to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad we're able to do this.
Glad I'm here.
At some point, Max is going to bring snacks. He's not yet brought you snacks, but you are enjoying, I hope, our spirit sponsor, Stolen Spirits, and want to hop right in. Just tell us a little about where you come from.
I'm from the south side of Chicago, Inglewood, I grew up in different places, but that's usually where my home is. I went to school there, and that's pretty much about where I'm from.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school in multiple places, actually. I went to school in the suburbs. I went to school in the city, Hillcrest, Thorn Ridge, Excel, that's an alternative school. Mm-hmm. I went to all-girls school, the Young Chicago Women. So I was moved around a lot, but Inglewood is my home.
Yeah, of course, you know, Inglewood gets it's changing. And it also gets a bad rap.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny. Like, a lot of times when I go out of town or whatever, people be like, where are you from? I'm like, Chicago. Chirac. I'm like, no, Chicago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because you do a good amount of traveling. You've been traveling.
Yeah.
So how do you respond to those questions?
I just try to make sure that people actually get the gist of and understand that Chicago isn't a place where you go and you need to be uncomfortable, or you go and you need to be scared, because this is my home. This is where I'm from. And I go everywhere comfortably and I have fun. And unfortunately, there are some unfortunate incidents that happen. But at the end of the day, we have way more to offer and to show. So,
right. And that doesn't, I mean, that happens, stuff happens everywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly.
I mean, and yeah. And of course, I think, you know, we know some of the reasons why particular communities, particularly communities of color, particularly black communities, get the kind of rap they do from white-run media spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to tell this alternative narrative, you know?
Yeah. So I'm proud of where I'm from. I love it. And to see the growth that we're doing, and we get better every year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Max has brought some snacks for you in the corner store. So Max always secures some stuff. Tonight is no different. He got you a milk chocolate mini crispy rice bar. I don't know. It looks interesting. I hope you enjoy that. Also, it is, you know, we're pulling a late night shift and you're going to be with us for some time. So we also got you a Starbucks Frappuccino chilled coffee drink.
Oh, I love Frappuccinos, actually.
So feel free to enjoy.
Thank you so much.
All right. So now it's true. You're busy. You do a lot of things.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's kind of crazy. Like, I've been in Chicago for quite some time. Usually, you know, people that know me, they know that I travel. So I've been here for, I'd say, a couple of months consistently, and everybody's always hitting me up like, oh, when you get back in the city, let me know. And I'm like, I'm here.
Right. before we go on, where can people follow you online?
On Instagram and Twitter, my social media is LUL_mermaid. It's like Little Mermaid.
You are hilarious on social media, by the way. You really be talking the most ish out of anyone that I pay attention to. You let Muggs know what it is, right? Like, you do not hold back.
I just try to have fun, and because everyone's always like, oh, you have an image. And I'm like, no, I'm just me.
All right. So you do travel a lot for dance. So tell us, how did you get involved in dance?
Oh, I'm going to tell you all a secret you cannot tell no one. I've actually been dancing since I was like 16.
Okay, right. So
it's like, but it was on and off. It wasn't consistently. But I was in a space where I was still finding myself, and I kept running away from home. If you search my name, then you'll see like, it's like, whoa.
Right.
So, but that's something that was my scapegoat for me to just get money and express myself in ways that I didn't feel like people would understand. And some people still don't understand, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because it characterized the kind of dancing that you do.
I am an exotic dancer. Some people call exotic dancer. I dance at different clubs. I've been to Miami, Houston, LA. I've been to New Orleans, Louisiana. I've been to pretty much most of the major cities in the United States, and I'm looking forward to putting my passport to use. So
right, yeah, because you're really out here for this work. I mean, you're getting you're getting booked and have a growing following in all these places.
Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of people think think I'm older than what I am. I'm only 21. I just turned 21 in July. So they're like, oh, and I'm like, I'm still young.
Right. Yeah, no, very, very young. There are a lot of misunderstandings about this world, about the world of exotic dance, the world of exotic dancers.
Like, oh, man, it's crazy. Some of the stuff that I've run into, like some of the things that people have said to me or just about, they like, oh, okay, well, when you leave from work, you go meet up with guys and stuff. I'm like, no, I get my money and I go home.
Right. That's a different kind of work.
Yeah. I'm like, That's two different, you don't...
Yeah, right. It's right. It literally is two different jobs. And salutes to people who do any kind of labor.
Exactly.
You know, but that is a... But there is that often misunderstanding about exotic dance and then, I guess, the world of sex work.
Yeah, seriously. And it's crazy because I didn't really get into that until my cousin brought it up to me. And she was like, oh, you're a sex worker. And I didn't understand what she meant. And I got really defensive. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no. And she was like, but you dance. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, but I'm not. And she was like, no, that's not what sex workers are. So I'm like, if you guys are interested, then you could look into that and understand fully what we both mean when we say that.
So it's interesting because I don't know if you've seen that movie Hustlers.
I did, actually, and I loved it.
Okay, yeah, break it down. And how realistic is it for those who have not seen it? It's a J-Lo. There's a big cast. Cardi B's in it. It's really good. I enjoyed the film.
I did, too. I actually really... Cardi B is one of my inspirations just because we have the same... Well, similar backgrounds. And
I've always thought of you, since I've come to know you, I've thought of you as a Chicago Cardi B, Chicago's answer to Cardi B.
Yeah, I get that a lot too. They're like, oh, you rap too? Like, you,
because you can rap. And we're in the next half, we're going to talk about all the other stuff you do, but you can rap for real. Like, you have bars. Like,
thank you. Yes.
And you're so nice. And but when you rap, you're not nice. Like, you just like, you're like, it's a different energy.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy because a lot of people, like, when I put my music on, I was like, yeah, I rap too. And they're like, oh, okay, let me hear some. And then they'd be like, whoa, like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yes.
I'm like, what did you expect?
But it's good. I love that juxtaposition.
Yeah, I love seeing that shock energy, that oh my God, like, you really, I love that reaction. It makes me feel a certain type of way because then I can see that they see me in a different light.
So we'll talk about music, but you're talking about Hustlers.
Yeah. That movie is very realistic, and you got to understand because it's like, yeah, there's some guys that will come in the club and, like, I don't know if you remember the part in the scene where the guy, he crumpled up a dollar bill and he threw it at the girl. He was, like, hitting her in her head and stuff. I'm like, and then on top of it, it's like, it's frustrating because a lot of people feel like, oh, you're not doing anything. You're just, oh, dancing is easy. Oh, all I got to do is go to the club and I'll make thousands of dollars. And like, no.
It's the service industry.
Exactly.
So you have to know how to deal with some people who I imagine are too inebriated.
Exactly.
Have a different expectation about what that engagement is.
Yeah, and some people that come to the club are like completely disrespectful and they have no respect for women in our profession. And it's like, but you have this fantasy. So it's like,
and then why would they come into a space?
Exactly. That's
we'll talk more about that when we come back. And of course, we'll get into your burgeoning rap career. We're back at it for another hour and a half. You are in the Corner Store. My name is Kevin Koval. I'm your host. And we are talking with Lou Mermaid, who is an incredible dancer and rapper and just a creative. I mean, a lot going on. We were talking before we went to break about some of the nonsense you have to deal with in the industry that you're in.
Yeah.
And I imagine then this transition from dancing to making music is not an easy one.
Yeah, no, it's not. Because, and a lot of times, me and the DJs already have, they already know me from the clubs. So it's like, you would expect them to be like, oh, yeah, you got a record? Yeah, let me... There is one DJ that he makes sure whenever, even if I'm not in the club or not, DJ Pound for Pound, he always, and at the club I was working at, they made sure that they play my music all the time.
They should play your music there. I mean, because it's also...
good.
It's good, and it's also, I would imagine, good for that space.
Exactly. Like the I can't say the name of the song that I
did. No, you cannot, which also has a visual out, right?
Yeah, there's a visual to it. It's a link in my bio.
And give people the bio too, as they or the where they can find
it. It's on my Instagram link. It's in the link in my Instagram. It's LUL_mermaid again. And yeah, so it's like I did most of that video in that club. So it was like,
right, a plug for the club, really.
Exactly. And it's I don't know.
So, yeah, so what, I mean, because, you know, we are familiar a little bit about Cardi's rise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for every Cardi, of which there is only one,
right,
there's, you know, probably hundreds, maybe more people who are trying to make it. So what are some of the roadblocks you come up against then in the space and in the transition of, you know, having a growing fan base as a dancer,
right,
but then being like, y'all, I also bring in this heat.
Exact fire.
Right. For real.
But sometimes, like, if I do meet someone, and I've met multiple people, like people with actual names in this industry, like plenty of people, that they see me and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we met you here though, so this is what we want you for. And it's kind of like, dang, like, actually is literally an A-list artist who he told me, he was like, yeah, nah, I didn't call you for that, like, I don't even want to hear your music. I was like, dang. Like,
well, he's sleeping, right? Yeah. And so let's talk about music. Now, how long have you been rhyming?
I've really been rapping all my life, but professionally, I just got in the studio about it maybe 2 years ago. This girl, she was actually pushing me. She kept telling me, like, yo, you need to get in the studio. You need to get in the studio. And I was like, that's not really my lane. I'm like, I know how, but that's not something that it's not my lane. So she was like, all right, fine, if you don't want to do it, whatever, but I got this song I want you to get on. She's like, I'm booking a session, and yeah, meet me up there, and we're gonna do this song, and then you don't gotta do it no more. And I'm like, okay. So I went to the studio. We had like a 2-hour gap and a studio time, and I went in there, and I had wrote my bars the night before, and I wrote the chorus or whatever, and I got in the studio and I did a one take. I swear to God, like, I just rapped it, and it went instantly. And he was like, whoa. He was like, how long you been rapping? I was like, this is my first time in the studio ever. And he was like, wow. I'm like, it gave me a feeling. I'm not going
to. Sure,
it gave me chills. I was like, I could do this.
Right.
So
since then, you've started to take yourself more seriously?
Yeah. I mean, even after that, I was still kind of like, you know, whatever. And then my friend had ended up, may he rest in peace, he had ended up getting murdered. So, but he was telling me, and he was saying, like, I'm going to make sure you do this. Like, I don't care what you're talking about. I'm going to push you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And he kept calling me like, did you go to the studio? And then after it happened, it kind of hit me. I was like, I gotta do it.
Right.
I was like, I gotta do it.
And so, and since that time, you've put out a project.
Yep. It's an EP. It's 4 songs. It's called Inglewood Baby. It's kind of like it's a introduction to who I am. I have a couple of singles on SoundCloud, but that is the first project I put out.
And you can find it on Spotify, wherever you stream
music.
Yeah,
Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Google Play, wherever. So right. All you gotta do is just type in my name, LUL Mermaid.
And even though, you know, it's an EP, it's 4 songs, there's a lot of depth. I mean, you even in those 4 songs, you experience a lot of different kinds of emotions listening to that record.
Yeah, it was it was different. One of the songs, my friend, she had told me, she was like, we was just sitting down. One of the songs is a remix, the Mozzie Sleepwalking. So she was like, yo, you got to do this remix. And I'm like, I just listened to the song. I'm like, all right. I wrote it in like an hour. And I went to the studio and I laid it down. I'm like, yo, I like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the project. I like the way you rhyme because you feel that you have a lot behind it.
Yeah, I went through a lot. And most, you know, everything I rap about is true. Like, it's stuff that I experienced or things that I've been exposed to or just different experiences that I had. And it's like, when I feel it and when I see it and when I think about it, it's like, other people have dealt with this. So it's like, if I could give them something that they can feel and they could relate to, then I've done my job as an artist.
Now, is that difficult, being vulnerable in that way, both on the mic and also dancing? It's obviously a different kind of vulnerability.
Right.
But you are putting yourself out there in ways that most people never do.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. Like, even with, like, it's weird because me as a dancer, I don't like people touching me. Like, it's weird. Like, somebody will come up to me and grab me. I'm like... And I'll move. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I forgot. I don't have no clothes on. So it's like, hey, this is my job. Okay. But then it's
like. But if you don't like people touching you, that is a tough.
Exactly. And a lot of people are like, what do you mean you don't like? I'm like, I do not like people touching me.
So how do you get over that in the course of Night to Night?
I just really look at the end goal. I think about going home. I think about things I want to. I think about my goals. That's what I think about. And I just pretty much push it to the side. Most of the time, I try to start having conversations with people so it isn't that, like, oh, I'm sitting next to a stranger. Like, so I try to start conversations and not give a person too much of me because they will take advantage of that, but at least to open that door. So it's like, okay, we're both comfortable and...
Right. You're a human, they're human.
Exactly. I try to let people see, like, this is not all this to me.
Right. But it is, it's funny because you're breaking then that wall. And I think people have a certain fantasy or expectation when they come into a space.
Yeah, and that's why it's funny because a lot of guys and women, they tell me, they're like, you're not like the rest of them. And I'm like, okay. It's like, you are not like the other dancers. I'm like, yeah. I see it all the time. Like, a lot of times girls will just walk up to them and just start dancing in front of their face. And they're like, you didn't even tell them your name.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. I leave communication open for people so I could kind of fill out where I need to or who I need to be for that moment.
So you mentioned you push a lot of it aside to get through the work because you're focused on your goals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are some of those goals?
I have a children's book that I wrote, and I'm waiting on, I'm getting the illustration done for that. So that's something I'm really excited about.
And this is a great book. I've been lucky enough to look at the manuscript and hear about the project.
Thank you. And it was crazy. I was scared at first because I'm like, they're going to be looking at me like, you dance. And I didn't even want to put it out in my name because I didn't want parents to be like, oh, yeah, no, she's a dancer. I don't want my baby like exposed to that. But yeah, you helped me.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that there's a power in that. I mean, how many dancers are there throughout the world who have kids and lives and are whole people?
Exactly.
So I think to also, you know, kind of do away with some of the, you know, stigmatization around some of these professions and, you know, it's a complex thing, but I think that we are, you know, skittish and puritanical in ways that are unnecessary.
Right. And it's not only a children's book, it's educational. They're learning their colors, they're learning their numbers, they're learning animals. It's an educational book as well. So it's
and like, it's inspiring, like that yeah. kid's book. It's like no, be you, right? Yeah. Like despite what happens to you in the world,
exactly.
Like be yourself. I'm super excited for all of the work that you do and will continue to do.
Thank you.
And you know, it's incredible because you're young. You're yeah. you know, 21, and you got all this stuff behind you and are headed in a really great direction.
Thank you.
So before we go to break, give people a sense. Now, people could come see you dance.
Yeah. I pretty much be at my home club was Boogie Nights. But I just got a new work schedule. I have an actual job, so I'm Boogie Nights. It's on 147th and Wood, 14701 South Wood.
And any shows coming up? Where?
Yeah, actually, there should be a show next Thursday, I believe, at Play Club Play. That's also 154th and Dixie Highway. It's called Let's Play Bar and Grill on Instagram.
Great. And yeah, people should, you know, go online and stream, download the music. Again, to keep in tune with all of what you're doing, what's the socials?
My Twitter and my Instagram is both the same as LUL_mermaid. My Facebook is kind of personal, but if that's the only thing you have, yeah, it's kind of personal.
All right, that's all good. Well, Lou Mermaid, thank you so much for being in the corner store. We are excited for everything you'll put into the world. And when, you know, one of these projects come, you come and we'll do a longer talk in the podcast too.
For sure. I'll be excited.
Yo, welcome back to the corner store. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. You are in a live version of our podcast we do every week on WGN Radio. The live version we affectionately call the Mini Mart because it's short and quick and different in some ways. Tonight we've had an incredible crew and we have about another hour and change. And we have in the corner store right now one of my favorite producers in the city of Chicago, really the world, producer, DJ, Closed Sessions family, here to talk about new projects and just music in general. We have Boathouse in the building. Welcome, man.
Hello. What an intro, man.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Before we begin, man, you know, Max Snack Tour, of course, secures some goodies out the corner store for our guests. And so Max has gotten you a whole can of Pringles barbecue flavored.
Yes.
Chips.
This is not the shorty.
No.
Let
yeah,
be known.
Right. And then also a buy antioxidant infusion mango drink.
Oh, need that.
Yeah.
Need that.
So sure. Stay hydrated.
Of course.
But yeah, man, you be making some really beautiful music.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
Yeah. I've loved the solo projects you've put out.
Yeah.
I have a mix that I make on Spotify, and it's just like kind of when I want to work, but work to groove instrumentals.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
A lot of your tracks that make those.
Yeah.
I guess, how did you start making music?
Well, so DJing came first for me, but I guess a little bit before that, it was just kind of like, I guess when you're a kid and you listen to music, you're first kind of like digesting your parents' musical taste, you know? And so I was getting like a lot of hard rock and stuff around the crib.
Where are you from?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. St. Louis Park, a little suburb outside of Minneapolis.
Yeah. Of course, Minneapolis has such a great music scene.
Hip hop especially.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Prince, the God.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, their hip hop scene, their indie hip hop scene built the Midwest and really most of independent hip hop in the 90s to now.
Well, the Minnesota scene influenced me, I think, like more than any hip hop scene. You know, I mean, I did all my homework as a kid, and when I got into music and hip hop, Wu-Tang Clan and MF Doom came to me at kind of like the same time. So I had classic, classic hip hop and classic underground hip hop, and then quickly after that, it was like, oh, I want to get involved. Let me do some more research. Came up on Gangstar and DJ Premier. And I was like, okay, I think I want to look into DJing, you know? And then also, you know, Primo, to name one of them, he's a producer as well. So I was like, I should DJ.
I mean, top.
Start making beats.
Three for me, you know?
I would 100% agree. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I mean, I bought a MPC when I was 17, 2000 XL. And that was that was what I thought, like, everyone makes beats on. I've seen, like, a video of Kanye in the studio using one, along with, like, he had, like, an ASR-10, a big sampler keyboard. But I was like, that's what you use. Like, that's how you make beats. And so I bought one, and it was a six-month learning curve before anything got made, you know?
How did your folks feel about your desire to go in this direction?
They're artsy people, too.
Okay.
My dad and my mom were both into theater. So my dad has been in plays, like, all growing up. He also would, like, make masks and stuff like that. So he was into, like, Commedia dell'arte, which is, like, a masked form of theater.
Yeah. And a great theater scene in Minneapolis, too.
Yeah. So they're super into the arts and creative expression and that sort of thing. But I was never into the acting stuff. I liked behind the scenes things. I would do some of the lights or the sound at some of their shows when I was a kid. So
Should do film scores. You know, your music kind of lends itself to the cinematic.
That's dreams for sure, man. Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, they co-signed the motion of doing music, like, instantly. The turntables that came my way when I was 16 was a birthday present from my parents. So I told them that's what I was into, and we went shopping, and yeah.
That's beautiful. How do we get you to Chicago?
I say I'm from Minneapolis. I was actually born in Chicago.
Hey,
so there we go.
See?
Yeah, you know? So born in Chicago, but left when I was a baby. Came back for Columbia College. So, okay. Yeah, college brought me back out here.
You graduate?
I did not graduate.
Most of our guests do not graduate from Columbia College.
Yeah, most of the homies that I know went to Columbia, same thing. So.
Right. But it is a space to meet a lot of hip-hop kids.
Oh, yeah.
And other creatives. But
for sure. For sure. I mean, coming out here, I think, was like... I was going to do music, and I loved hip-hop and making beats and producing. So I was going to do that regardless. But coming out here has been like... I mean, I've earned so many things through the hard work that came with being out here and wanting to pursue this. So, I have eternal gratitude towards Chicago. Like, I love it here.
Well, and now you're a fixture. In my mind, you are one of the resident producers at the Chicago label Close Sessions.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You just had a hand in working with Johnny Jones, who we had on the episode of the Mini Mark Corner Store. But tell us a little about this really, really great project that you guys have, the One Punch EP.
Yeah. So, when he signed, I resident producer, and that's kind of like what I am at CS right now, too. So whenever someone new starts coming around that we're thinking about maybe working with, I'm kind of like, I guess you could, like, a first line of defense kind of thing. Like, come through, get in the studio with me. Let's see if we cook up. Let's vibe. Let's make something and see how we feel. And it's not to say that, you know, I'm have any say in the decision, but it's just like, you know, how are you in the studio? Let's put them in with Boat, see what's good. And
how do you like that, working with new artists
way? It's my favorite thing. Like, it does a lot for me personally, like, especially with bringing me out of my comfort zone, because I think, like, it's easy to be closed off, especially with something that you are, like, being creative about, and it's so personal, I think, sometimes, that it's easy to kind of close yourself off and be like, yeah, you know, I want to just, like, do this for me. But you close a lot of doors for yourself, I think, that way. So when Ajani was coming around, we clicked, like, pretty much instantly, and we just started making records, and, you know, we text each other every week, like, let's go, you want to hit the studio Thursday, let's do it. And a lot of those records, a couple of the early One Punches, like, or early records, ended up kind of, like, being shifted towards, like, he's making an album, these are some records for his album. But as we were creating those, there would be ones where it's like, this is a dope record, but, like, it's not
doesn't
the album
fit the project,
cut,
yeah,
you know. So it's like, okay,
the Dragonfly project, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, a lot of those songs that I did on his are from those days too. So but yeah, we would just be in the studio, and we would put something on the computer, like an anime TV show. You know, I mean, One Punch Man is an anime show. That's like, we would watch that a lot, and that kind of gave a little inspiration. But we would also be watching, like, Afro Samurai and Akira and just stuff on silent and making music to it.
Well, because you do make a lot, you have a lot of different sounds.
Yeah.
And so I guess where are some of the, you're just open to what's around you and you pull that into the music, or how do you source sound?
Sure. I think like a lot of producers, we are kind of like sponges for that stuff. Like, I have an external hard drive that has drum sounds I've been collecting since I was like 19 years old. So, and I just take it all in and just kind of keep my ears open to different sonics, like at all times, whether I'm out and about and I hear something being played from a loudspeaker somewhere in a coffee shop and just kind of Shazam it or something like that. But it's really, I think you have to be selective with what you use at the same time, because you don't want to get stagnant and you don't want to also be using the same sounds that everyone is using. So that collection that you end up building for yourself kind of helps determine your sound as a producer and what you like to use.
And where can people be in tune with what you're doing, what you're making, and where can people get the music?
_ Boathouse on everything, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, I'm on there, just Boathouse, all one word, and Spotify, Apple Music, all the good stuff.
And what's that, the Szechuan joint, what's that called?
Oh yeah, that's that was off Spicy Caliente. That was the CS project. Yeah.
That is my jam. You're gonna come back later and jam. play beats for the cypher. Welcome back to the Corner Store. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. We are in a live edition for the next hour on WGN Radio. We call the live version the Mini Mart, and it does not stop. We've had a all-star lineup, and this next guest is no different. Just fresh off of the release of an incredible project called 20 Winners, we have the rapper Myquel in the Corner Store. Welcome, fam.
Thank you. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, good. And you also brought your DJ, Cam Cookout, is in the building as well.
Cook up Cam.
Good to see you, man. Yep. Max the Snack Tour has secured some snacks for y'all. Feel free to share it. I mean, you know, we got some Nutella on the go breadsticks. It's a young dip. And then also a Simply Lemonade raspberry flavor joint. And of course,
can we do it simple?
I hope Max offer you guys some of our spirit sponsors, Stolen Spirits as well, on the way in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good. But fellas, welcome to the Corner Store. This project is brand new in the world, 20 Winners. It is a really terrific record, man.
Thank you.
Tell us a little about what people can expect to hear off the record.
So it's basically five records, altogether about 12 minutes. It's produced solely by Thelonious Martin.
Shout out Thelonious Martin. Very talented, man.
Bro is the big homie. He's like a big bro for real. I text him like often, and he's like always telling me like, yo, you're next up. So it's just cool, you know, for somebody who is already solidified to like have faith in you.
And he's got that taste. I mean, that's not gas. Like you know, he knows the business.
Man, he's worked with like some of everybody, bro. He's worked with Mos Def, bro. When I'm 40, I want to be Mos Def. So like, he's worked with who I want to be, you know what I'm saying? So,
right, that's significant.
Yeah, man. ASAP Rocky, Chance, Joey Perp. I said Mos Def already, Mac Miller, Freddie Gibbs. So like, he solidified.
Yeah. So this is a really powerful record. We're going to listen to one of the tracks off the record, and we're going to come back and talk a little about the project and what you have coming up. This is the track Pangea. Anything that we should particularly keep an ear out for?
Just, you know, listen to the metaphors, you know.
Yeah, you could write. You got bars. All right. Well, we're going to hop into Myquel's Pangea off the brand new project, 20 Winners.
Shook the world, I'm next and modest, plotting. Word around is my 12, stay in the pocket. A penny for your thoughts, I deposit for your 2 cents. My circle's the meanest, your loose squares, I probably make 50 cent like Queens did. And many men wanna see my death. Move like a refugee, I be white clef. Check from G
G-spots and G-strings. Hop the G-train, R&B mic, the pockets, nothing but a G-thing. Ay, don't hold your breath when the beat breaks, and ask yourself why I excel now like Eve Saint. A breath of fresh air, hands in the air, ay. As far as the throne goes, I'm the heir. Inhale, I ghost now that I'm out of my shell. Evaporation, I drop heat and gas myself. What's up?
Tell when it's down at my new thing. To see I'm stopping with a good thing. Cocaine, cocaine. The trash stop me at the ground for a whole thing.
Tell them I'm rich with caution. And tell your boy to get off me. They treated it like an auction. I'm thinking that's where they lost me.
Who's that in your atmosphere? The young Shakespeare. Get around like spheres. It appears me and my peers on point like spears. Top tier, we don't mind round here. Pick your glasses up, oh God. I galloped into the battle, yielded a fucking sword, and leave it with no battle scars. Like Jesus told me, go hard. Spit that heat, don't make the devil jealous. Put that on God, ain't no charge. Pay me attention, my nigga. But I'm gonna speak a bang. The real life, that's on the real life. Where fishes hang, I go against the grain. Like I don't anything, I put that on anything. It's the hardest since Big and Dre. Allow me to demonstrate. It's crunch time, I'm too packed, I'm too strapped for the beef fat. Too pick on my dinner plate. Kill them all if they imitate. Play follow the leader, they couldn't be a superior. Stay the whole point in my bitches' legs.
Right, tell me to stand at my new thing. To see I'm snapping with a good thing. Cocaine, cocaine. The tracks got me at the ground for a whole thing.
Tell them I'm always precaution. Tell your hoe to get off me. They treated it like an auction. I'm thinking that's where they lost me.
That is Pangea off of Mike Quell's brand new project called 20 Winners. Of course, Mike Quell, man, you're not from Chicago.
Nope. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I was 16, moved to Queens, New York. And when I was 18, moved to Chicago.
What brought you?
Two things. School, and then I was also dating somebody. So the long-distance relationship wasn't working. And, like, I'm a hopeless romantic. So I tried to save my relationship. And I moved here.
How'd that work out?
I mean, she came to the release party. I mean, we're not dating, but, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's,
like,
what's
that's
up.
My,
yeah.
My friend, for real.
No, that's love. So the record is out in the world. It's a really great project. Why the title?
So 20 winters. So, like, every single time, like, I think about the winter time, I'm just like, bro, like, how did I even survive this? Like, even the last winter, like, I was outside during the polar vortex, and I'm just like, bro, I feel like winter is like something that's like absolutely like necessary, because like summertime is like mad fun, and like fall it starts to get a bit cold, but like you really have to like buckle down and like persevere through winter. And I feel like it's like a larger metaphor for life, you know, like just basically represents like perseverance, like sticking to it, you know, like you're always gonna have highs and lows, and yeah, once you like come out, you know, you're like bigger, better, stronger, all of that jazz.
Well, it's interesting because this is a project where you sense some growth from you in a real way. It also seems that this record is getting attention, more and more attention than you've gotten, which is very well deserved.
Thank you.
It's a 5-track EP. What else is in the works?
So I'm working on a full length. It's kind of cool because I linked up with D-Lo before I went to Jamaica in April. And he was like, yeah, so like, what are you working on? He like reached out to me, and it's kind of cool because like a day or two before, like my manager was like, yo, we need you to like, you know, make an EP. And they were like, are you gonna be producing everything? Because I produce myself. And I was like, probably. It's like, I would like to work with people. Like, and he had recently started following me and like looking at my stories. They were like, reach out to him. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And then like literally 2 days later, he was like, bro, I messed with you heavy, like come through the studio and we're gonna like work. I ended up leaving his house with like 12 beats.
Wow. All right.
So yeah, after that, probably come out with a few more singles. Just really like adamant about being consistent so people know that it's like not a fluke, like it's like happening.
And how is that for you as an artist to kind of meet that demand of constantly, especially as a young artist, you know, meet that demand of constantly putting work into the world? How does that match up with your artistic process?
So for me, I literally have like a home studio in my room. Like I've made like a lot of sacrifices to get some really good equipment. But also I've always been like introverted. So even throughout like high school, I would be bringing like my laptop to like class and like making beats on like lunch. You know what I'm saying? So like I'm not outside. Like I'm literally staying inside my house, like making music. So, you know, I have like a greater social life now, but you know, I would definitely prefer being inside and like working. So like every day I'm like working. So I've got like a ton of music that hasn't been like released yet. And it's like a hobby for me. So it's like a passion. It's also like therapy. So it's like really no pressure. You know what I mean? If anything, like this gives me like excitement seeing like people actually listening. Cause like a lot of times I feel like, you know, I release something and I feel like it's like very personal and it's like very like great to me. And so like you were saying, now people are starting to acknowledge that. Also, people aren't starting to acknowledge that. So it's still, it's like, yo, I still got like a lot more to prove.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, which is exciting. And it's exciting to see project to project, the evolution, the growth.
Yeah.
Where can people be in tune with what you guys are doing? Where's the best place for this?
So I'm literally on every streaming service. If you have Tidal, they pay the most for streams.
Hey.
So like support me on Tidal. But yeah, literally Apple Music. Exactly. Spotify, any social media, you can follow me at Matt Myquel. That's MadMyQuale.
Word. And we are going to go, we're going to go to a quick break, but you're going to come back in a few minutes and have, we're going to have a bit of a round table about the state of music and the community in Chicago. And then, of course, we always end the mini mart with a cypher. You're going to come back and
let's do it.
All right. Bet. Well, fellas, thank you for being here. Welcome back to the Corner Store Live, aka the Mini Mart. It is an all-star lineup in the building tonight, and I'm excited because we have another really dope, talented young rapper from the West Side. Musa Reams is in the Corner Store, fam. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
You already know, man. This is a long time coming. I've been a fan now for a minute. You've been putting a slew of new music into the world. Musa Mondays is a thing. Uh-huh. It's a movement. It's a vibe. Tell us a little about you. Come from the West Side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. How long you been rhyming?
I've been rhyming for 7 years now. About to be 8. I started when I was 15. I'm 22 right now. About to turn 23 next year. So I've been rapping for a while out west. Grew up in Woodside too, which is like the west suburbs. So that's Maywood, Broadview, Bellwood, Hillside.
And what got you into the music?
In eighth grade, I had a lot of homies that was into mixtape culture. So we was listening to Friday Night Lights, More About Nothing. Then I went on an eighth grade graduation trip and I had a history teacher. His name was Mr. Connie. And we were talking about Three Stacks, people like Nas.
Wow.
And he was like, you guys don't know who MF Doom is. And he
Mr. Connie put you on.
Yeah, he put me on. He put all of us on. So we started rapping over Special Herbs, the instrumental of
Volumes. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, just walking around the neighborhood. And I went to Pitchfork in 2012, and I saw people perform. I'm like, I can do this. And that's how I kind of took off.
Dope. You know, my faux pas in the Corner Store, we welcome our guests with some snacks, and so I did not do that up top. Max the Snack Tour has secured for you some Simply
and it's organic
puff organic white cheddar chips.
Kevin knows I take care of my health.
That's
shout
right
out to Kevin.
That's right. Of course, though, he came back with the Dean's Trumu chocolate low-fat milk. It's 1% milk. I don't know if you drink stuff like this. Me, myself, right. I am lactose intolerant. I'm also lactose intolerant because I don't tolerate these WAC MCs.
Facts.
Nor do you, though, with just the bars that you have on deck. Right. We're about to listen to one of your tracks. Do you know what we're about to listen to?
We're about to listen to Nothing New. It's the first single off my upcoming project, To Whom It May Concern, EP.
And when can we expect that to drop?
You can expect the EP to drop November 12th.
All right, bet. Well, why don't we listen to this track, Musa Reams, To Whom It May Concern.
Musa. Live by one model, keep my head high. From the blue line to the red line. It's ironic that they wonder where the bread lie. Always keep some honey so I can never regret mine. Most these
Be worried about the headlines. I be mindful of what I already let fly. I'm well connected with the plug like a Best Buy. People always fuck when they flatline. And I got people that told me never regret anything. I got people out of town, so I respect. Many scenes collect, any means connect. Plenty things, I've been running for a while. Who the best really be? Confess, it's really me and ain't nothing to reach a milestone. Most of my moved out the project to a brownstone. Then they spend their money and they wonder why they pal gone. Then they over to the f***ing town, thong, town, thong, town. I'm tired of people acting like they been cool with me. I ain't all of the fake. I just snatch they jewelry. Before I leave the house, make sure that I got the two with me. Ain't nothing new to me. It ain't nothing new to me. I'm tired of people acting like they been cool with me. I ain't all of the fake. I just snatch they jewelry. Before I leave the house, make sure that I got the two with me. Ain't nothing new to me. It ain't nothing new to me.
That's a brand new track from the West Side. Homie and MC, very talented rapper, Musa Reams. Musa, thanks for blessing us with that track,
thank
man.
You.
Yeah, that's exclusive, right? We haven't heard that in the world yet.
They heard it in the world, but I do have another single coming out. That came out last month, but I got another single dropping in October. In a couple of weeks.
Where's the best place for people to be in tune with what you're doing?
I'm all over, so Spotify, Twitter, Instagram. I got a website too. You can follow me on a whole bunch of stuff. It's all up there.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed about your career is that you've gone from just basically like having bars
mm-hmm.
to writing songs.
Word.
That's a difficult transition to make.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Studying. The one thing I always tell my homies when I'm in the studio is that I want to be uncomfortable. So being outside my comfort zone and making sure things are difficult while I'm recording is how I create songs. So traveling, also looking inward. I think when you look inside yourself and you understand what you want to do, you are able to unlock certain things that you may have never saw in a certain light when you first make records or when you first start off. And it's about repetition too. Just being in the studio, I record every day. Sometimes I record all day, and writing every day is something I got into, and just expanding my horizon. And I think that goes with anything. Like you have the best analogy I can say is like you have food. And you can have a variety of food. You can stay at one type of food that you like. And I like to have like many palettes. And that's how I kind of look at music. Same thing with like painting and everything. So yeah, it's pictures.
So how does your writing process work? Where and what time of the day? How do you approach it?
I probably will write. I write when I wake up. I write when I go to bed too. But if something comes to me, I won't stop in that moment. Sometimes I'm on the train. I like storing stuff in my head too, in terms of making music, because I think it gets to marinate basically. And when you get to marinate, you kind of expand on the idea that you already have. And
are you one of these cats though who like won't rhyme? I mean, won't write until it's worked out in your head, or will you?
Nah, I write a lot. And
okay.
A lot of I'm working on a lot of different things right now. So I have collective stuff, but then I have solo stuff. So those bring completely different mooses out onto the table.
What's the difference? And what do you mean by collective stuff?
Collective coming soon. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
The All right.
Been like working on stuff.
Okay.
But we like been working on things, and I would say my music is very gritty regardless, but I utilize different flows. I do different things with my voices, and I try to compliment, when I'm in a group, I try to compliment my group mates. When the solo stuff is more of what's in my head, what's the theme of this project or this EP or this song, and how do I make sure that I execute this idea and be as intentional as possible. So that's the one thing I focus on while doing those different things.
The West Side of Chicago has a really rich history in hip-hop music.
Yes, it does.
You know, Twista, to Lupe, Saba, yourself. You are kind of a next in this tradition.
That's crazy to hear. Yeah.
Right. But that's
yeah,
facts.
It's real.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how does being from the West Side influence your pen, all the syllables that you all kind of put in such a small space?
Quick talking for sure. Like,
yeah.
I just,
why is that?
I don't know. Naturally, I can just flow like that. And it's kind of weird that all of us are, you can just put words together. I can rap slow too, but I can just kind of put words together in a certain way. Just quick on your feet. And I feel like the West Side definitely embraces that. Because growing up, seeing certain things, I had to be quick on my toes. And that translates over to music in terms of how I make music. I think being quick on my toes and being witty, growing up, like, if you were not witty while I'm growing up at, you would get eaten alive. Because people going, we play the dozen, we have fun, we play games, we joke with each other. And that punchline writing technique just carried over into rap and me trying to be witty and just be very personal at the same time.
Yeah, and you really hear that reflected in such an important way in your music. Where can people stay in tune with what you're doing, social media, everything, all the platforms?
You can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, you know, DoorDash, you know, Uber Eats, my website at MUSARREEMS. That's MUSARREEMS. And yeah, I'm Drip to My Lou, Swank Thomas, aka Fleroy Smith.
We're going to come back and have a cypher in just a bit. Right now, we're going to go to commercial. More from Yusuf Reams in just a moment. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to The Corner Store Live, a.k.a. The Mini Mart. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, and we have a squad in the studio right now. All the mics are on, more or less. We have, just going down the road, y'all, so people can stay in tune. You've heard from all these folks so far on the pod, but, you know, who do we have in the building?
Yo, it's your boy, Musa Reams, a.k.a. Drip to My Lou, a.k.a. Fleroy Smith, you feel me, a.k.a. Swain Thomas, a.k.a. Steezus Shuttlesworth.
He takes the whole show just with the AKAs.
That's what's up. I'm Michael. Simply Michael.
Hey, you know what it is? It's Boathouse, AKA Young Considerate. You know what I'm saying? Always thinking of others.
Okay, I don't have an AKA, but it's Lil Mermaid.
Okay, welcome. Yes. Welcome back, and thanks for being a part of this roundtable. I just wanted to talk a little about, just get everyone's impressions. I mean, you all occupy different spaces and also shared spaces in the Chicago music scene. But where are some of the spots that you all go to do your thing right now?
YCA, definitely.
Sorry. True? No, yeah, no, that's what's up. Yeah, YCA, Tuesday nights, of course.
For sure.
Vibrant, open mic spot. And open to everybody. You don't have to just be young, although it helps. But yeah, come through YCA on a Tuesday night. What are some of the other spaces y'all go to?
YCA, shout out to all the streetwear joints in Chicago, Juggernaut, Fat Tiger, Leaders.
Yeah, definitely Juggernaut. I just went there, caught my first Juggernaut hat, so shouts to them. They were like, man, cool.
And, love those folks.
Yeah, Fat Tiger, for sure. I'm a huge Joe Fresh Goods fan.
Facts.
Soundscape Studios.
Right.
The headquarters for me.
Yeah.
And Fatso's Last Stand right down the street. Get a good Chicago dog.
Word.
That's it. Yep.
That's what's up.
Oh, yeah. I believe on Thursdays, Club Play, that's in the suburbs, they have a showcase. You can come out and do your thing. They give you some exposure.
Nice. Some of it's changed a lot. There was a time when I was coming up in the 90s, there was a time where every night of the week you could go to one, two, sometimes more open mics and get on. And it's changed a little bit. But I wonder from all y'all's perspective, you know, where are we at right now in Chicago music? You know, what does the scene feel like as some of the people who are creating it?
I feel like personally, if it kind of feels like a changing of the guards in a way. Like, I think that there's a lot of new faces popping up that not necessarily they haven't been around the whole time, but I think, like, there's a lot of people coming up at the moment that are just now starting to get, like, I guess, like, their sea legs, you know? Like, getting more shine and, like, getting more comfortable with their own creative things that they do. Yeah. That's what it feels like to me, I guess, as someone that's... I mean, I'm sure you guys have been around as well, yeah. But...
Some of the people in the room, I feel like, are now. It's like, it's y'all's time, you know?
Because I'm definitely fresh. It's like a lot of things I still haven't learned about hip-hop culture. And sometimes I feel out of place, but at the same time, we all have a chance and we all have our time to educate ourselves. And if there's something that really pulls you and keeps pulling you, then I feel like you should follow your heart.
So. I was talking to my homies, Free Snacks. And I was telling them how
I love that crew.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's the homies. That's the homies. But we were talking about how from like 2011 to 2015 it was a renaissance, mm-hmm. and I seen Saba and Chance and the Wileys and Mick Jenkins, No Name, John Doe, all at these places, and like this is the second renaissance in Chicago, and we're a part of it, and this is the second wave. This is the movement. So it's not the second wave, but it's another movement coming out of Chicago right now. And hip hop here is in a great place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because it was, and I want to say that it was a time we were stuck in a spot where I think Juice WRLD really broke it out, and it kind of stopped the way that they saw rappers and artists from Chicago, because at the time it was like, oh, drill music, and Juice WRLD kind of opened up that door for us, like, no,
melodies,
like we have more to offer than that, like we're dope too.
Yeah, and even that division, which seemed, you know, ridiculous, that there was drill and there was other music, and this is kind of like media, you know, sponsored division in some ways, where it was like it's pitting, you know, what people were referring to as drill versus what, you know, Chance and Vic and some of the stuff that was coming out of the Closed Sessions camp were doing, even though folks lived in the same community down the block from one another. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, I think someone like Toby Lou has also, you know, done some of that bridge building between, you know, this more melodic movement. But I think Chicago's also always been, you know, the home of like melody because of the blues, really. And I think that's like filtered into hip hop for so long as
well. It's in the air. You know, like it was bound to just like be strong enough to kind of break out of this area of the country, you know, and like kind of show everyone else like what we're really doing here, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was younger, I was modeling for this group called Swag the Runway, and we had a show and they played house music, and that was one of my first times hearing house music, and I was like, whoa. Yeah. It's like, hey. I was like, I like this. So
yeah, I think one of the things I love about the city is that because of house, it has had in its underground scene a desire to pull so many different kinds of people together and keep them in that same party type of atmosphere. And I think it took hip hop a little while to accept that that is the vibe of Chicago, but I think now we're in that moment where y'all are really building with one another in a way that my generation of Chicago hip hoppers didn't, and that's really exciting to see. You know, so I guess, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I spent a lot of my day binge watching a program on Netflix called Rhythm and Flow or something like that. Some of y'all have seen it. Or know what it's about?
I know what it's about. I haven't got a chance to sit down and.
It's kind
of
like,
I just watched the Chicago auditions.
Okay, yeah. Well, so what did you think? I mean, that's why I went right away. I fast forwarded and made sure if that was going to be whack, I wasn't going to rock with the rest of the program. But what did you think of the Chicago episode?
I feel like it definitely showed a lot of talent that, like you were saying, like, that isn't usually promoted.
Right. Shout out Independent.
Yeah, right. Who's in it? Yeah, true.
Yeah, so they had a lot of dope people. Some people that I knew personally. I realized for that particular show, I feel like they're highlighting, like, your story as well as your talent. So a lot of people, you know, have, like, very jarring stories. And I feel like that pretty much played into account with, like, them choosing the people that they chose. So I'm, like, definitely interested in seeing, like, what happens when they go to L.A. Because I know everybody in Chicago, it's funny because they're like, bro, you got to, like, you know, stop crying and just, like, you know, like, do it. You know, it's nothing to it but to do it. And then you see, like, people in the previews, like, crying from different cities. So, like, you know, Chicago is always, like, very solid. That's one thing that I respect. So that's cool.
So, you know, I think it's a good look anytime you get national, international exposure for the city, because too often, you know, Chicago music has been plagued by not having enough infrastructure, institutional spaces, kind of like Closed Sessions, which is one of the exciting things about CS being here and being a Chicago born bred label. But you guys all make and continue to make music in this city. So what are some of the things that keep you here as opposed to, you know, going to the coast? Like so many artists have. Personally, I think once that happens, that migration makes some of that music whack. I'm not naming names, but I think like once you uproot yourself, you disconnect from, you know, some of the stew that makes people here so raw. So what keeps y'all here?
I could say for me personally, because I am a connoisseur for traveling, and it's honestly, there's really no place like Chicago. Like, don't get me wrong, they're beautiful, but this is entirely who made me who I am, what made me who I am today. And it you have to build your foundation, and a lot of people try to go and venture out and become something that they're not. But at the end of the day, you can't get away from it. This is who we are. This is where we're from. It has a lot to do with how we are, and our dialect and our accent, whatever, like, is in us. So I had to learn that recently. Honestly, this year, I learned that this is my foundation, and this is where I'm going to build.
Bet. What about y'all?
Staying in Chicago?
Yeah.
That's the question. I would say, as somebody who's not from Chicago, coming to Chicago, I really can appreciate the people. One thing that I like recognized like early on is that people aren't easily impressed, so you really have to be good here. Living in New York, I love it, and like, you know, when I go back, I realize, like you were talking about the infrastructure, pretty much the development of the sound is literally like Southern like trap for the most part in New York right now, and I feel like a major part of that is because, you know, you have like all these record labels there. Chicago, from like my understanding, has always been more independent, like DIY, so it forces you to be more creative and like create, you know, like dope ideas and like really push. So that's what I appreciate about it. Yeah. And I travel often, so like, yeah, it's no place like Chicago. So
yeah, just to agree with you on that too, like being in Chicago, I never feel like I'm in a box, and that's the most important thing about being in Chicago to me and being a rapper. I can sing on my next record and the people will be like, okay, this is a progression of Musa. It's not gonna be like, oh, why is he singing? This isn't a certain type of music. And I feel like Chicago, because of the many lanes that we have within the city, it allows people to go and also connect with different people, but also be in their own lane. So Chicago is home for sure. And it definitely has taught me a lot. And there's so much culture within one city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know we are all biased, but it really is like the illest place to be an artist. And I think, Maquel, one of the things that you reminded me of is like, you cannot pass whack stuff off on Chicago Mugs.
Yeah. Facts.
And because they will let you know. And I think that means that the art here really rises.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and y'all are down to close us out with a cipher. We're gonna rock over one of Boathouse's beats.
Let's go. Let's
do it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and come right back with a Mini Mark Corner Store cipher. Thanks, y'all.
Get some Boathouse bars.
Yes, yes. Yo, this is my favorite aspect of the live version, the Corner Store podcast that we do, aka the Mini Mark. We end every episode with a cipher, and we got some spitters in the building, so I'm very excited to do this. I just want to remind folks that you could holler at us on socials at cornerstore_pod, at Kevin Koval. Let us know who you want to hear in the Corner Store. Also, be reminded that we drop a new episode of our podcast every Tuesday on WGN Radio, and anywhere that you find podcasts, you can subscribe to the Corner Store, and please let us know who you want to hear on the Corner Store. We are about to celebrate our second year anniversary of this podcast, and we have a slew of interviews with some pioneers in hip-hop arts coming to you from a trip we just took to New York. But right now, we're going to end out on a really dope cipher. I'm excited to have this particular crew in the building. Folks, just want to, can we go down the line again so we can mic check and also just get your voices and also your socials, let people know where they can stay in tune with what y'all are doing.
It's Musa Reems. That's MusaReems on all socials.
Mad Myquel on all socials. MadMyquale.
_ Boathouse on everything.
353. No, just
kidding. Oh, so
nervous. You stay wilding though.
_ Mermaid. Lil Mermaid on Instagram and Twitter.
Facts. All right, now Boathouse, you've queued up some choice selects.
Yes.
For folks to rhyme. What are we about to hear?
So it's a beat that I called Lonely at the Top, and all the beat names that ever get named on my computer mean nothing. It's all whatever pops in my head at the moment. This seemed very fitting. If you agree with it, you know, I hope you do. You agree that it has a fitting title. If not, maybe you should tweet one of us, maybe Corner Store Pod, and let them know what the beat should be called.
I like that you're open to suggestions.
I'm always open for suggestions.
That's what's up. Well, yo, DJ Cashier, put on the beat. MCs, remember, we are live on air, so please keep this ish clean. Thank you so much. Boathouse Production, Corner Store, Mini Mart, Cypher.
Yeah. Yeah. Musa. Yeah. My boy is not guilty, told him cop a plea. Too many people wanna kick it like a soccer team. I'd rather get money like Monopoly. Slot machines, a couple people got turned into vegetables like broccoli. Look, yeah, not sick, plot twist. I know a couple people that'll run through your block quick, yeah. That's why you looking like an easy target. Squeeze the market. We open shop like a Neiman Marcus. Internet people on the web just like Peter Parker. Never hated, everything is love like we the Carters. Fade people, cause we never needed barbers. Between the margins, play the corner like it's Revis Island. Talk ish so they know it's a flex. All my dolls get they checks up like they go to the vet. They go on respect. When we in the room, they notice the best. Lil Mog's timid, it's not like they posing a threat, boy.
Oh, that was hard.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, right?
Mike Wall. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, shit. Blood, tears, and sweat. Life started applying pressure. I emerged a baguette. Treasure my thoughts. Jewels leaking up out of my chest. Stress got me losing shut eye. How these people look like the cousin of death. Sleeping. Don't call it an accident. Really been on a humble. 10,000 hours we practicing. It's me and my people. We trying to ball like formal events. When really the catch, they call it far-fetched. You surpassing them. It's yours truly. Unruly since my grew me. I spoke truthfully. And cause I'm honest, wanna John Wilkes spoof me. Linking up inside a SUV. What's a god to a goofy, we don't never trip, sticking to the script like a movie. Yeah.
What you got, Marie?
Oh man, let me catch the beat. We looping this or what? See, I done came up from nothing.
Hey,
talk about it. Yeah. Talk
let about him know.
We doing another beat or we keeping this one?
You don't like this beat?
I mean, yeah.
There's six of them in there, so I mean.
I got one more for this one if we got it.
All right, yeah, yeah, look, yeah. All right.
Yeah, look, yeah. Yeah, it ain't no stopping me. My boys hold a stick and focused on goals like a hockey team. Yeah, my name buzzing like a lot of bees. Keep your opinion if you never stepped inside my wallabies. I've been a fly dude, so it's only right I book a flight. I get up out of gym if the situation ain't looking right. I'm from Chicago, but shorty with me, a Brooklynite. The success ain't authentic if they say it only took a night. Who would you call if you heard that all your cash dropped when we struggled? We made sure that we had mad plots. The thing that get them in the game be they last plot. When it come to guns, y'all have trouble shooting like laptops. People don't rap no more, they just want to market brands. My brother's in the streets with a drum like a marching band. Regarding plans, we getting money when the charter lands. People lying, you can't tell if they marks of fans.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna flip up the beat. Yeah, we're gonna flip up the beat. No, you got it. We're gonna get you on one of these tracks.
Play another.
Okay.
Yeah, it continues. Also, shout out Josh Jimenez, who's said, you know, loves everything that's being said on the pod right now. So salute.
Yeah. Follow me on everything, please. Matt Michael. Lil Mermaid. We really in here right now.
What? Dead dreams, my people losing they visionary. We taking too many trips to the same cemeteries. Mama losing focus, she ready to give in. Daddy ain't around, got a kids round strange men. Dudes getting they feelings, fronting like they feelings. My brother's taking case, father figures for bad intentions.
Yeah, all right. Oh my God. Yeah.
That verse is for this beat, though.
For real. Also, Mermaid, just it needed to be a little meaner.
That's what it was.
Right, it needed to be a little meaner. I know. Look, I know there are some restrictions. You can't cuss and everything. You know what I mean? I know you self-editing on the fly, but that's what's up. You know, people know you got bars. Anyone want to hop on this?
Hold on. All right.
Yeah.
My brother's taking cases for. Hold up.
Yeah, catch it.
Brothers taking cases for father figures.
No, let them know though. Let them know.
Punch in.
My brother's taking.
One more time. Alright.
I don't really get it. We stuck in and out of systems. Foster care, county jail. Why we need a census? Take account for counts.
Yeah. It's really hard not to cuss.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
You know, I was editing these verses last night just practicing. So y'all can hear
them. No, I know. We put Mermaid on the spot too. I think we let you know, like, coming to the studio, like, by the way, why don't you hop in the cipher and spit all clean verses? No, salutes to y'all, yo. Make some noise for all the MCs in the building, yo. And Boathouse, salutes for having a track, y'all.
My pleasure.
Yeah, no doubt. So everyone's pen game is very different, but I also feel like a super group is formed on the spot. I wonder, you all have talked about working with different folks. What is something that you look for when you look to collab with somebody, producer, MC? What are the things as an artist that you're kind of looking for?
I just look for good vibes and no judgment, like free space.
Yeah.
So we can really push each other to our limit.
Trust is important for me. I think just like trusting in the abilities of the other person. You know, I think I'm not a vocalist, so I don't write, I guess, the same way that maybe Musa would or Mermaid would. But I think just at a certain point, you have to just kind of be like, I'm going to do my part to this and kind of get out of the way and let them shine. Or when it's my time, I'll shine. That's one thing I think I took away from I think Mad Lib said it once about working with Freddie Gibbs, was like, what's it like working with each other? And it's like, well, I make the beats and he raps. And that's my favorite part about working with other people, is trusting in each other's abilities.
Yeah, I agree. Like, specifically working with Thilo, like, this is somebody that, like, I would admire throughout, like, high school and, like, really try to recreate his beat. So, you know, fast forward, it came full circle. So, you know, I tell him that, and it's like, he's worked with so many people, so I'm like, I've got to have the best verses over your beats. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of working with people, I always like to work with people, get to know them personally as friends, and then work from there. A lot of the people I work with, from producers to rappers, they've been homies for a while, or we just listen to each other's music and then go from there. But yeah, definitely a relationship outside of the music is important to me, because we human at the end of the day.
That's real.
Thanks. And inspiration. I feel if you can give me ideas and you can put me in a light that I wouldn't see myself in, then we already won, because a lot of people don't like reaching and going outside the box.
Yeah.
Can we do, before we get out of here, can we do one more round of socials and just let people know also if you got something coming up that they can anticipate?
Right. It's your boy Musa Reams. Y'all, I'm gonna let y'all know this real quick. I got a single coming out featuring Mitch Jenkins called Zombies, October 29th. Check that out. EP, November 12th, To Whom It May Concern EP. Follow me, Musa Reams, MUSAREEMS. It's your boy Drip to my Lou. It's your boy Swank Thomas. Thank you, Kevin Koval, for having me on here. You feel me?
Thank you, fam.
Yo, Matt Michael, follow me everywhere. If you haven't heard it, go peep 20 Winters. Me, myself, featuring Thelonious Martin. We got a lot more singles, a lot more content coming for y'all.
Yeah, Boathouse _ Boathouse on Twitter, Instagram. Dropping a compilation album, CS, Close Sessions Volume 3, close to Thanksgiving, so perfect timing for the holidays.
It's Lil Mermaid, LUL_Mermaid. I just dropped Inglewood Baby. It's an EP with 4 songs, and I'm about to drop something called Never Wanted to Be a Barbie, I'm a Brat.
Facts. Y'all, I can't thank y'all enough for being in the building tonight. Folks, thanks for spending some time with us on this Wednesday night. Follow us at cornerstore_pod at Kevin Koval. We put out the podcast every Tuesday, so please stay in tune. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thanks for all the artists who blessed us in the corner store, and all y'all for being in the building tonight at WGN Radio. Really just couldn't have imagined a better squad tonight. Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The corner store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.